Be welcome back to the programme. 28 minutes to the hour is the time. And as is usual at this time on a Monday evening, it's time for Careers Corner. I'm joined on the line by Liam Horan. Good evening to you, Liam.
Good evening, Aidan.
And thank you, as always, for joining us. Email from LL. I'll read it to you as we received it. I have recently been told I'm going to be made redundant from my job in 6 months' time. However, a job has become available in another company close to where I live, but the catch is that it has a significantly lower salary. Question, do I go for this job, even though the salary is dramatically inferior, or do I sit tight for the time being? Any suggestions as to what I should do?
It's an interesting one, and obviously we don't have the full situation, so we're operating a little bit in the dark. I'm kind of torn on two. The sort of the early bird catches the worm, number one, and two, there's sort of plenty of time yet before deciding to jump off the current job and go for the new job. And I suppose that's something that LL will have to decide themselves. I think they need to have a kind of a way of making this decision, a few things to calculate. First of all, I'd ask them to look at what are the likelihood of jobs coming up in this sector. I mean, there's a job coming up now in the sector. Do they come up once every month in your area? Do they come up once every 6 months in your area? That's a very big consideration, I think, that, you know, sometimes buses come regular, other times they don't come quite as regular. So that's something that they should really consider very much. You know, based on your skill set, based on your sector, based on the number of companies that employ in the sector in your area, how likely is it to come? I wouldn't be overly put off by the salary being lower. It would be one thing I would say. There's always a chance to improve a salary when you get into a company. If you assert yourself, improve your worth, that can always improve down the line. So I wouldn't let that be a huge part, although you can't rule it out.
And yet, on the other hand, Liam, if you're on a salary, let's say, of 50,000, or if LL's current salary is 50,000, and this new position attracts a salary of 35,000 euro, that's a significant drop in salary. €300 gross per week.
Yes, but a few things about it. If jobs regularly come up in this sector, then, you know, you needn't be as jumpy about taking a job like this. But if they don't come up regularly and you want to get into a company in this sector, it might be a hit you have to take. Now, the thing about the hit is it is offset by the fact that you have redundancy, which will buy you a little bit of time as well, though you don't want to waste it all away on a dramatically reduced salary. But I think it's all part of the consideration. You know, say, for example, your sector is a very narrow base. There are only so many companies who employ in that area. It may be something you need to look at. And I wouldn't let the prospect of the salary diminishing be the sole arbiter, you know what I mean? Put it this way, if in 6 months' time there's not likely to be any other job available, well, are you any better off for waiting the 6 months? Do you know what I mean? There's sort of pros and cons. Now, you obviously got to look at, you know, the redundancy payments as well, too, and all that. The company may well be happy to let you go a little bit earlier, you know, if they're trying to save money. So there's a lot of things, a great number of things to consider before you make your decision. But the other thing I would say to LL in this situation is to try and make your decision from a position of confidence in your ability that things are going to open up again, that this is not the end of the world. This might be the start of a whole new era for you. And not to make decisions that are too guarded or defensive, you know, on the basis of, well, the sky is going to fall in tomorrow. You know, even if things are pretty poor in your sector, if you adopt that attitude, it tends to make things worse. It tends, you know, to rub off on people who might be able to influence employers who might have contacts for you. So to retain a sense of positivity, I would say, is hugely important during this phase as well.
But aren't there other considerations as well, Liam? Like, for example, has this individual a mortgage? Has this individual children? Has this individual other liabilities, like car, credit union loan? All of these issues.
Yeah, and all of those will feed in. I suppose when I talk about the salary, what I'm saying is that, you know, there's a reality coming down the line in 6 months' time. If you don't think other jobs are going to come up in the next 6 months, and if you do believe you're going to have to go back down the ladder a step or two, well, it's better to accept that early rather than late, I would say. Do you know what I mean? That if that's the way your sector is going, holding on for 6 months, and next thing in 6 months there's nothing there at all, that's the calculation they've got to make, you know? The other thing I would say is, how wedded are they to their sector? Can they move to a different sector? Can they transfer their skills? This is something the question doesn't tell us, but sometimes people get very wedded to their sector and are a bit like somebody standing on a on a desert island as the waters lap up around them and make the island smaller and smaller. Perhaps you need to change sectors, and if that's the case, you need to look at what skills you have to transfer, you know, from where you are to where you might go to next. And that's very challenging for people, but the advantage LL has is that change is now being forced upon them. There is no option but to change at some level, and it may be a time for a more fundamental look at their career to see what, you know, what else they might do apart from staying exactly in the sector they're in.
Just a text in, it struck me, but then I, when I was thinking about this as you were speaking, the texter says, what employer notifies an employee that they're going to be made redundant in 6 months' time? But we regularly hear of manufacturing concerns or other concerns closing down, and they would be winding down their employees over the course of 12 months. I mean, we hear that regularly.
Absolutely. They may be relocating to a new area.
Sure.
They may not just be able to press the button today and be gone tomorrow. Regularly happens. In fact, there have been cases where people who were involved in the winding down of the organisation were letting people go, knowing at the end of this process they were going to go as well. So it does happen, certainly manufacturing, as you say, where relocation could be an issue. There could be, you know, all sorts of factors, a new premises being built either in Ireland or somewhere else. You know, all sorts of factors could feed into that. So a company may well be well aware of its game plan for the next few years, you know, so that would possibly feed into that.
And is it necessary perhaps to draw a distinction between that situation on the one hand and on the other, where a person more or less has been told by the boss, look, this isn't working out, but I will give you 6 months to find alternative employment, but you're going to be gone in 6 months? I suppose that's a rather difficult situation to be in.
I would say that because, you know, it's a de facto, you would imagine, you know, what's the exact phrase? Just one company now, but, you know, constructive dismissal, effectively, to say to somebody, you know, I'm not saying you have to go, but you can't stay here, you better be looking around. It would be very dangerous for a boss to say that. But, you know, the redundancy that's coming down the line here for LL is a change that's in the offing.
Mm.
You know, lots of people are working in sectors that are going through change, and, you know, I think we need to be very realistic and say, well, this sector is changing, it's diminishing, my company is diminishing, the options for what we do are diminishing, and not, you know, I'm of the view you should never wait until the very last minute, you know, to go. If things are going a certain way, get ahead of it a bit and try and plan to be ahead of it so you're not left on the final day, you know, wondering what happened here, how did all the sand go through my hands, so to speak, even though it's obvious for quite a while. And I think that's a big part of this answer for LL, is to make a plan that works for them and control it. Because if you don't control events in your career, they will control you, and your ability to make an informed decision becomes less and less, you know, strong or whatever, the closer you come to a deadline, you know. So they have a six-month cushion now of sorts, that I think they should use really wisely, if at all possible.
You see, that really is the net issue here, isn't it, Liam? That if LL or anyone in LL's position fails to control events to their advantage, then, as you say, events will control them, and perhaps they find themselves in 6 months' time redundant and no likelihood of rapid employment.
Yeah, and there is a scenario in HR, the extent to which people are surprised by who's still left the day the company closes or the day the whole thing goes wrong, even though it's been going wrong for a number of years. You'd be surprised many people hold on and hold on and hold on, take pay cuts, take change work circumstances, extra hours, see the business going down the tubes, and still kind of half holding on to what they have for the rather ironic term of security, you know, as the thing diminishes. So, you know, I would always be saying to people, where is your industry going? Where is your job going? You know, and if it's going a certain way, well, don't be surprised then when it goes that way. Don't be caught, you know, holding the baby, so to speak, when, you know, you can see the event coming down the line and you can make some plans for it.
Very good, Liam. We leave it there. Hopefully, LL, if he or she is listening, will have taken some comfort from that. Liam Horan, as always, thank you very much indeed. And we'll talk to you again next Monday evening, usual time of 5:30.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
Good evening to you.